Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
We're kicking off a brand new teaching series today. We teach in series, so typically about 4 to 5 weeks, and we're kicking off a brand new one today called Summer Blockbuster, and I'm really excited about this series. It's kind of cool. It's one I've never taught a series like this before, so this is exciting. But we're not going to pull out of time. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up, and we're going to jump into the Word. In this series, basically what we're going to do is take movies, right, cut out some really good clips and some scenes, and explain some stuff in the scenes in a biblical way to kind of show you God speaking through movies. I feel like God, every movie I go to, I get a word, right? It could be the craziest movie, and I get a word from a movie. So we're going to kind of put that to use today and find some words in the movie. And the movie that we're actually talking about this week is Creed. So I don't know if you've ever seen it, but we're going to read a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to check out part of the movie. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and it says this. It says, all praise to God. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. In turn, we're going to look at one more scripture. And that's Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah's in the Old Testament. We're going to look at one scripture here. It's verse 17. You can obviously look on the screens. And it says this. It says, I will restore you to health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. I will restore you to health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. Bow your heads. Let's pray for just a moment. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that this is a day that you have made. And Lord, we rejoice and we're glad in it. We're so grateful for this opportunity to gather as a church family. And we thank you for all the fathers that are here today. And Lord, we know that you ultimately are God the Father. You're our Father. You care so much about us and you love us. And Lord, as we expound on the word today, I pray that you would speak through me a word of clarity and conviction as we look even at these movies, that they would help to even change somebody's heart, that somebody might see themselves in these roles today and it would have an impact on their lives. We thank you that you care about us so much that you decided to send your word to speak directly to us, to show us who you are. Lord, help us to not only be hearers today, but also that we'd be doers of your word. We give you the glory for it today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Check out this clip.
Marianne.
Hello.
Thank you. Adonis got into a fight today, and he's in holding. If you want to see him, we're going to have to go up there. He's a good kid. He just...
fights.
All the time. Adonis. I'd like you to meet Mrs.
Could we have a moment, please?
Sure. I'll be right outside.
Why were you fighting?
When your father died, I was angry for so long. I hurt myself, pushed family away.
I don't have no father.
What did you say?
I said I don't have no father.
That's not true. He passed before you were born, but you had a father.
You knew him?
He was my husband. Adonis, I would like it very much if you would come and stay with me.
Do you think you'd want to do that?
What was his name?
Talk to you?
Yeah.
I quit my job. Yeah, no.
I ought to knock you out myself. You know how many times I had to carry your father up these stairs because he couldn't walk?
I'm going to be fighting full time now. So I wanted to tell you face to face.
You are your father's son. And you're part of him. But it doesn't mean you have to be him.
I'm gonna call you.
From the 10th round, the first fight, right?
Good call. How'd you know that?
I heard about a third fight between you and Apollo. Behind closed doors. Is that true?
Were you like a cousin? Or...
He's my father.
No, he ain't. I don't believe it.
Call Marianne.
Marianne, his wife.
The house number still works. I want you to train me, all right? I need somebody solid, and who else better to go to? All right, you at least owe me that.
I can tell the way you talk. You've been to school, you know, so I figure you got some brains. Why would you want to pick a fighter's life when you don't have to? If Apollo was around, he would tell you that too.
Well, he ain't around. I've been fighting my whole life. I ain't got a choice.
It's always about a choice. I was in the ring. I saw how it went down. That fight should have been stopped. I should have stopped it.
Maybe he wanted to go out like a fighter. Maybe you did exactly what he wanted.
I think he'd rather be here talking with you.
Now, typically, right, a boxing movie, it's all about the fight. You're ready to see that scene where, you know, guys are in the ring and ready to go. But this movie starts to trend another way. And if you've ever seen a Rocky movie, which I've seen probably all of them multiple times, and you probably have, there's always a backstory, right? It's always a love story. There's always some type of inner struggle that we see. And we start to begin to see it in this movie with this kid, Adonis, right? And he's finding out that, oh, wow, you actually had a father, and you're in this place where he's trying to figure himself out. And if you ever watch Rocky, which I have, like I said, like there's that inner struggle is always the really cool part of the movie. As much as the fight scenes are, which are really staged and kind of corny sometimes, man, there's that inner struggle really is what people really connected to. Right, trying to figure this, we know it was Rocky trying to figure himself out, and now you have this kid really trying to figure out who he is, right? And you saw it, all those big battles, right? You kind of waited for the scenes, you know, you had Rocky versus Clubber Lang, anybody, right? That was a great fight, Mr. T. You had Rocky, you know, versus Ivan Drago. Anybody ever seen it, Rocky IV? Come on now, that's like the best one, right? You have these scenes where it becomes more than about the fight. It becomes really about the inner person of who he's called to be and what he's trying to be. And Creed is definitely, this movie's about a fight for sure, but it's not a physical fight, right? It's about a fight in the soul, on the inside, the things that we're really dealing with, the issues that we wrestle with. And all of us, there's something that all of us, kind of deal with, or something that we all kind of struggle and wrestle with. We're all trying to really figure it out. And as you watch this movie, what I want you to do is focus on the movie and the characters and the fighting, and that's great. But really, we want to focus on the fight that's going on in the inside of you. What is it? Right? What is it? What is that thing that's kind of in you that's burning, or something that has kind of been there, all the way along? Man, it's really kind of what can define or shape your life. It's what's inside of you. If we look at, in the Bible, look at James 1, 23 and 24, it says, anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like, right? Now, we all have these struggles and these fights, and sometimes when we look in the mirror, we try not to see, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, we try not to see the real person, really who we are, right? We like to see the kind of made-up person or the person that we want to aspire to be, but sometimes we don't allow ourselves to really go deep and see the person that's really inside, what's really being reflected through the mirror. But I'm saying today, wow, it's such a great opportunity looking at this movie to be introspective, right? To kind of take a look on the inside and say, okay, where am I really at today in my life? If I were to stop and just kind of look in the mirror and take a prognosis of where I am, where am I really? Where am I really at? What's really there, right? And if I were to look, maybe there's some wounds there. Maybe there's some stuff there that's kind of affected me in a way that, I really don't really want to talk about it, right? I don't want somebody to take off my shades and see the black eye. I don't want people to kind of take off the shades of my life and see, man, some of the scars and some of the things that I've really been through. But for a lot of us, man, we're fighting stuff. And we see in this movie, people are fighting insecurity, right? I don't have a dad. He says that line, I don't have a dad. And she's like, what? No, you have that. Some of us are fighting insecurity. Some of us are fighting dreams that we've had but have kind of never been fulfilled, or we kind of lost them along the way. Like we're still waiting. We're kind of in the battle. I'm trying to get there. Some of us are fighting anger, right? Where everything is, you're ready to just rash out at people and you're ready to just fight at everything. Some of us are dealing with father issues. That was one of mine. I can be honest about that and say that was one of my issues and still something that every once in a while affects me to this day, right? We all are dealing with these things, but Jesus, he talks about these things. He calls them really a strong man. If you look in Luke chapter 11, verse 21, it says, when a strong man who's fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. What's the strong man that you're fighting with? What's that thing, that issue, that something that's on the inside that causes you to kind of put up your dukes, that causes you to, let me protect this. I don't want people to see what's really going on with me. So I'm gonna get in my stance and I might fight and jab somebody. I might throw a couple hooks. I don't want you to go there. So I'm gonna put up my dukes in this moment. We all have that place. There's always that something that we're just like we start to get in our fighting stance with people if people begin to really start to touch it. People get close. That's why we don't allow people to get too close. We're kind of we want people to, hey, all right, stay at your distance, right? If you ever see in boxing, there's always a moment where boxers get tired. You know what they do? They hug each other. It's always the weirdest thing to me, right? But boxers, they hug each other because they're tired. They're like, man, I don't want you to punch me for about 2 seconds. Let me just get a little breather right here. And then the ref comes in and he breaks them up, right? But that happens to us a lot as well. Sometimes we're just, hey, don't punch me there. Let's just stay right here for a moment. Let me just catch my breath. And then you're hoping that something will just dislodge it where you don't have to really make a connection with people. Right? Where you don't really have to go deep, where you don't really have to see something that's going on. And there's a strong man that a lot of us are dealing with, and a lot of times we try to hide it. Man, I really don't want anybody to see what's going on with me. the issues that are really in your life that are going on. But sometimes, you know what? Instead of standing guard and being so, and you're ready to fight, what if we took a moment just to let our guard down? What would happen, right, instead of being like this, where we kind of allow Jesus to come in and just jab on our life just a little bit, right? What if Jesus, you let Jesus come in, you know, kind of Tyson used to come in like this, you know, he kind of, the big uppercuts. What if you allowed for a moment Jesus to come in like Tyson and just take out that situation that's in your life? The thing that's been kind of bugging you forever, whether it's a lifestyle choice or kind of what you're doing, where you're in a place where you're just like, man, where you just need to open up. What if we did that? What if we allowed Jesus to be the stronger person? He knows what you're going through already. He already knows. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I really believe that if you let Jesus begin to fight those issues in your life, those battles, those struggles, those things that you're going through, that you will be victorious. If you begin to allow him to have connection with you, to be the one that kind of overtakes, that even stands in the ring and fights for you, that you're going to win, that you're not going to lose in this struggle of life, because when Jesus is in your corner, I believe that you are victorious. Let's take a look at this next clip.
I named the boy Nasir. All the boys call him Nah. I told him as a youngster, again.
Mississippi did it like Miles and Dizzy. Now we getting busy, bridging the gap from the blues to jazz to rap. The history of mute.
That bell don't mean school's out, Donnie. Keep going. That bell means hell.
Just go get the chicken. It's not that big a deal.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty good. Chickens are slowing down. All right, Donnie, get into your stance. Make a small target. Turn sideways. Okay. You see this guy here staring back at you?
Yeah.
That's your toughest opponent. Every time you get into the ring, that's who you're going against. I believe that in boxing, and I do believe that in life. Okay? You throw a jab in the jaw. All right, one to the gut. Now, every time you punch this guy, what's he doing?
He's throwing one back at me.
That's right. So either you block it, slip it, or get out of the way. So. I'll leave you two alone for a while. Good luck.
Hey, it's time to train. This is how you start. Get your engine going. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We begin today with the boxing world. Adonis Johnson, a little-known boxer being trained by Rocky Balboa, handed light heavyweight title contender Leo Sparino a second-round TKO defeat in Philadelphia last night. An anonymous source confirmed to ESPN that Johnson is the youngest biological son of Apollo Creed, fact that was kept under wraps because Johnson was the product of Creed's infidelity. The boxing world is excited to have another Creed in the ring, but Wilbon, does knowledge of this affair damage Apollo Creed's legacy?
Damage his legacy? Let's go back for a second, a little history on Apollo Creed. I certainly have him right up there as maybe the best of all time in the discussion. He slipped. He made a mistake like a lot of people. This isn't going to be the first, particularly in the boxing world.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say it's going to kill his legacy.
I think it's an embarrassment. I think the family must have felt this embarrassment because they kept it under wraps for so long. But I really have one question.
What?
Can the kid fight as well as the old man?
That's a stretch.
You got to bring the fight to him like I did. You got to go to the body, dig. And in doing that, you're in a very dangerous place, because you can get laid out. It ain't easy for me to be in your corner, kid. I don't know if you're ready for it. I don't know if I'm ready for it.
but I'll do what you want to do.
If it was anybody else in my corner, I wouldn't do it. But I got you. So make the call.
All right.
Now we can see a lot happening in this movie. You got chickens, you got mirrors, you got dancing, but the bottom line you can see is the real fight that Creed is in. You can see that, man, he's really grew up fatherless, right? So he's struggling with things like identity. For him, the fight or the battle that he's fighting inside is significance, right? He's really fighting to really find out his purpose, and I can relate to that. As I said, I didn't grow up in the house with my dad, and that really had an effect on my life. I grew up in a single home with my mom and my two older sisters, right? And they could box pretty well. He's beat me up a lot anyway. There's things that I look at now that I didn't learn from my dad, right? I didn't learn how to pump gas, right? I didn't learn how to change a tire or even drive a car. There's things that I didn't get it. So I wasn't really able to, there were some things even outside of that I wasn't able to figure out with him, right? And as a son, even as a daughter, there's certain things that you learn from your dad that you can't really learn from anybody else, right? There's some things that you relate to in your life that happen in your life that you need that father figure. And we live in a society that kind of wants to really diminish the father's role, right? You even look on TV and every TV dad now is kind of a punk. Right, he's kind of wimpy, like the wife kind of walks all over him, and he really doesn't have a say. But I'm saying, you know what, man, I want to see some. I want a dad in my life. I want a father in my life that is strong, that shows me how to be courageous and how to be tough, and how to really be victorious in every situation. And for us, that's really God the Father, right? When I begin to look and say, man, who can really show me that? It's really God the Father. And what you see here is that battle, that fight, it really begins in you. As much as I want to see that, I know that it starts with me. And so you see Rocky put Creed, right? You see him put him in front of the mirror, and he tells him, he said, man, the biggest battle that you're ever going to face is what you see in the mirror. The biggest thing that you're ever going to come against, that opponent, is the person that you're looking at in the mirror. That's really who you have to beat. That's a great lesson for us, right? Because we can learn a lot from the mirror. We can learn a lot from looking at it. The scripture begs us to really look closely at our lives, to be introspective, to take a look, and to not just be okay with where we are, but be continually looking to see, man, how can I improve? How can I be better? How can I grow closer to God? How can I improve in these things in my life? And really, when we're willing to admit it, when we're willing to look in the mirror and embrace our situation, really, and see that we need to fix it, man, that's when you really start to see life change happen. And that begins, I feel like, with a relationship with God. You look in the Bible, I look at somebody like David. David was, the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. But even David was somebody, man, he had some father issues, right? He was a father, but man, there's some stuff that he didn't quite get right, right? But what did David still have yet to offer? My dad, he didn't quite get it right at first. Later on, when I got into college, we really developed a relationship. I was just talking to my dad last night, and we really have developed a relationship. He loves his grandkids, and it's amazing now, but I can think of then, man, there was some stuff that my dad could have given me, some things he could have offered me at a young age that would have really helped me to develop it better, right? And David as well, what does he have? When we look at David's life, man, David was a talented musician, right? That's something that really he could pass down to his kids. David was a warrior, unlike any other. That's something that he could really pass down. David was a leader of men. He was an incredible leader. That's something that you see passed down. And obviously, he was intelligent. You look at Solomon and the intelligence there. Obviously, there were some things that he could pass down. But at some point, David kind of messed some of that stuff up. But what was he able to do? He was able to look and say, man, to look into the mirror and say, God, help to fix me. Help me to be better. Let me show you in scripture where I'm saying. Psalms 139:23, and this is David speaking, and he's saying, search me, God. Look at my life. Search me and know my heart. Really, I need to really look in and see what's really going on. You have to get to the place where you're saying, man, I don't want to hide anything anymore. I don't want anything to be kind of under wraps that might that might take me away from you, God, but also take me away from my family. As a dad, as a father, I'm at the place right now where I want to be so open and my kids to learn so much from me that I can't hide stuff anymore, right? I have a three-year-old. You can't hide stuff in a house with a three-year-old. They're going to find anything and everything. My daughter's always walking around and stuff. Daddy, what's this, right? And hopefully it's not anything crazy, right? But I even in my life, I don't want to hide anything. But, I'm saying instead, let me expose everything myself. Let me continue to look in the mirror and see exactly who I am so that that relationship can be better. Let me show you again what David did. Psalms 51:7, David says, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." So that stuff that might be hidden, I'm saying, you know what? Let me go ahead and put it out on Front Street. Let me go ahead and get it out. Let me get it all out. Why? Because I would rather it out there and I be vulnerable but be clean than to be hiding and still thinking everything is okay when it's not. I would much rather it just be open and the Lord will see it. And you see a few verses down, 51:10, he says this. He's saying, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create it, man. Let me, after I look in the mirror, let me see it, Lord, and create in me a clean heart and put," I love the always say it, we say, "renew a right spirit." That's the old King James. "Renew a right spirit within me," right? Renew a right spirit within me. He's what's he doing? He's just being honest with God. A lot of us, if we just really need to take the steps to just be honest with God, to just look in the mirror and say, man, let me just shed away everything, God, that's not like you. Let me ask for forgiveness of myself and of others and just be honest about where I am, where I'm trying to go, and I the place where you know you've messed up and continue to move forward. That's when the Lord can begin to work. That's when he can begin to bless you once you've done that work. A lot of times we want God to bless us, but we're still in our mess. Right, we're still stuck in the stuff. We haven't really shed the stuff that's really kind of hurting us and taking us out. But I'm saying, you know what, man? Let's take the step to really just kind of, man, let's be clean, and let's be pure of heart, and let's come to God and seek forgiveness. Check out this next clip.
Doesn't matter. What you should be thinking about is that fight coming up. That's the only thing that should be on your mind, nothing else.
What you mean don't think about this? When you starting treatment?
I'm not doing no chemotherapy. No.
If you don't jump on this quick, you're gonna end up dying.
I know.
And you're all right with that?
I am.
Man, you sound crazy, man. Give me the keys. I'll take you to the hospital right now.
I'm not crazy at all. If I could take everything that was good and put it into a bowl or something and say, "Hey, here, I'd like to buy one more day with my wife," I'd do it. I would die a happy man right then. Not gonna happen. Whew. So everything I got is moved on, and I'm here. But you know what? It's okay. Because I said to myself, if I break, if I'm hurt, whatever, I ain't gonna fix it. Why bother?
And I'm just some bum that's living in your crib, just nothing.
You're a good kid and a good fighter. But you got your whole future ahead of you, mine? Back there, like all them guys on that wall, in the back, in the past, we're going nowhere. I am to you just an old trainer. That's what brought us together, you know? We're not a real family. That was just in our heads, kid. What'd you do?
How you doing? Good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a little nervous. There's just a lot of people here, not really my crowd, you know?
Yeah, I can see.
Oh, it's the boxing boy, Lil Apollo Creed.
I know his girl.
Hey, man, why don't you come over here and grab this pick on me real quick for the gram?
Yeah, that's cool.
Come on, man, you know you're busy, man. Welcome to my city, champ.
It is, Archie.
Believe that. Huh? Hey, good looking, baby Creed.
Don't call me that.
Don't call you that. Don't call you what?
You just call me Baby Creed, so don't call me that.
Hey, fam, dig this. I was showing you love, man. You ain't got to come off like that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That's all love.
No, I know it's cool. You definitely know it's cool.
Now, who you talking to, man? You talking real tough, you feel me?
You better talk to your little pretty boy boyfriend, man. You get a VIP pass next to your pop talking to me like that.
Sleep, man.
I ain't leaving till I tell you what's on my mind. You hate me, that's what it is. Or maybe you're mad with somebody who ain't here, Donnie, who can't defend himself. You know? I understand what you're going through, young man. I swear, I've been there. And I know what it's like to feel abandoned, to be mad at everything. And you're a better person than that. Forgive him. Because there's nothing you can do about it. It's taking a toll on you. You're still caught in the shadow. Gotta move, Donnie.
Man, that Rocky music gets me every time. What we can see there that they're showing this outward strength, right? There's this outward strength that they're both trying to show, but you can see that on the inside they're losing. Both of them, right? Rocky's losing this cancer fight. Adonis is losing really this fight of his identity, of connecting with his father. And a lot of times with people, you know, we try to cover up the wounds that are really there, right? We try to act like, man, they don't really exist. Jeremiah 6:14 says they treated my people's wounds, you know, kind of superficially or as if they weren't serious. But really, and they're saying peace, peace. Right, but really there is no peace, right? You can't just cover up and make it seem like nothing's there, right? You can't deal with a wound by not saying it exists, by saying it doesn't exist. You have to really begin to deal with the things that are going on in your life, really begin to process those things. And why? Because there's things that we all need help with. You have to begin to kind of let somebody in. Creed needs Rocky. Right, he needs him. He needs him to learn how to be a fighter, but he needs that father figure. And Rocky needs Creed. He needs somebody that can help him in this cancer fight. They need each other, right? And so they're in this place where they're both, look, Rocky's about to die. Creed is in jail, right? And they're a place where really you're both at a place where there's really nowhere else you can really turn. What else are you going to do but begin to work together? James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. That healing that we're looking for, the things that we're trying to get, it really comes as we begin to connect with one another, as we begin to love each other and confess our sins, even the things that, man, I did this wrong. But man, it's the place where we grow and the place where we really find healing is when we begin to share that with somebody else. You can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself. I need to be connected. You need somebody that's in your corner. That's why if you ever see a boxer never comes to a fight by himself. There's always a big entourage of people, right? And even when they get into the ring, some of that entourage pairs off, but there's still some people that are just in the corner, right? You got the guy that kind of fixes them up, and you got the coach, the manager that's kind of training them. There's always a crew that's around. We were talking about this in Squad Goals. We're saying, man, you have to get around some people that can help you along in life, that can help you with this process of connecting and be with. And why? Because there's rings that we're all going to deal with. There's things that we're all dealing with. But we want to fight in a way that's a good fight. We want to endure, right? I don't want to just fight to fight. I want to fight to win, right? If I'm going to fight and I don't fight, I never really fought that well. I wasn't a great fighter when I was a kid. I avoided fights at all costs. Man, but if I'm going to fight, I'm fighting you so I can win. I might kick you, scratch you, punch. I'm doing it all. Why? Because I want to win. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Day after day, we're going to have to keep getting in the ring. in these situations and these stuff, the stuff that we're facing, we're going to have to keep fighting. My mom wasn't a dad. You know, sometimes people like to say, oh, single moms, is Father's Day too? No. Father's Day is for dads. My mom was a mom. She couldn't be a dad. She told me that several times. I can't be your dad. But I know there was times where she just wanted to quit. She wanted to give up, right? I remember one night when I was probably about 7 or 8, and we were coming into our house. I might have even been younger than that. And this guy came out of nowhere and stole my mom's bag. Just stole it and just kept running, just as quick as we were bringing in groceries into the house. And, you know, in that situation, you're a single mom. My mom had 3 kids alone, right, by herself. Never did welfare, anything like that, put 3 kids into college, all that stuff. But I can tell that there were moments where, man, she just really wanted to give up. She really wanted to quit. There were things inside of her that she was probably battling even as a single mom. And even though she wasn't a dad, she had to kind of almost try to fulfill those roles, but she couldn't. But you know what she never did? She never quit. A lot of times when we start to deal with these things in our lives, these battles that we're facing, these things that are really tough, we're going to face moments that we're really going to want to quit. We're going to want to give up. Why? Because it's hard to deal with real stuff. It's hard to deal with stuff when you really begin to really face it on your own. It gets really tough to continue. But I'm saying, man, don't quit. Don't give up in this fight. And as you fight through these tragedies, as you fight through these struggles, you'll be able to help really others find hope. There's somebody else that's going to see your fight. There's somebody else that's going to see your struggle. And they're saying, man, I see how your life is changing. It's little by little. It's some little stuff that you're doing. Man, I see what's going on over there. And that, you have no idea how much that's helping me. I've seen that so many times. People saying, man, you know what, man, I see how you're such a good dad with your daughter. Man, that you don't know it, man, but I've been kind of following you and watching you. And trust me, as a dad, there's some days where I'm like, man, I am not equipped to be a dad. I'm not equipped to raise a little girl. But you know what, man, there's somebody else that's watching me, that's seeing my fight, and they're like, man, I'm going to stay in it because you stayed in it. I'm going to stay in this fight. I'm going to be a good dad. I'm going to defy the odds of what my culture might say or what it means even in this day and age. Why? Because I saw you do it. And that's why I can't quit. That's why I can't give up. That's why we can't give up. We have to continue to fight and continue to push on. Both Rocky and Creed, they're wanting to quit. They both want to give up. Let me just throw in the towel. But together they decided, man, you know what? Let's stay in the fight. That's why we need one another. In this, when they did that, Rocky found his life again, and we see it. He decided to sacrifice and give to really help this kid out. He didn't have to do it. He probably got paid for it, but he didn't have to help Apollo, his greatest opponent's kid, who he didn't know. He had to help him, but he did it anyway. And in that, he found some life in himself. There was something that he found in him as he's fighting his own battles and his own demons and sickness in himself. He got healed from being even a blessing to somebody else. That's a lesson for us because it allows us to live again. Check out this final clip. We're almost done.
I mean, what I look like letting you train me while you sit around and die? Just like any other fight.
This fight, I've seen it before. It gets as bad as it can get. And most of the time, you don't win it.
You know, but I don't care. I ain't training if you don't get the treatment. So if I fight, you fight.
See?
Come on.
There's a perfect right hand shot by Creed.
Yeah.
Yes. Versus right hand, left hand. Both guys land. This is unbelievable action.
Come on.
Right hand by Creed.
You play like me?
You belong in here. They don't know what you've been through, and they sure don't know what we've been through.
Most experts expected that Conlon would avoid trading shots with Creed, but he's trading willingly.
Creed fires a hard body punch.
The champ is in bad shape, Jim.
Creed realized he has a better chance of hitting Conlon to the body than to the head.
Creed just got up like a man possessed.
Yes, his daddy's hard, I'll tell you that much.
Daddy, be ready.
Hey, more work to do for Conlon. Body shot. Body shot. Trying to set Creed up one more time.
What's going on this round?
I should have stopped this one with your father. I'm stopping this one now.
Don't, okay? Let me finish. I gotta prove it.
Prove what?
I'm not a mistake.
Look at me. I never got a chance to thank Apollo for helping me out after Mickey died. But it's nothing compared to what you've done. You taught me how to fight again. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna fight this thing. But if I fight, I want you to fight too. You know why? Because you're a Creed and I love you, kid.
So,
go get him. Yeah.
Round 12 begins. Virtually no one outside of Adonis Creed's family and group of friends would ever have expected to see him in a 12th round against Pretty Ricky Conlon and trading shots as they come to these last 3 minutes.
Come on, kid.
Creed spins, puts the champ in the corner.
Body, body.
Throwing body shots like he's Rocky Balboa. Going upstairs like he's Apollo Creed. Closing seconds of the fight. You cannot be saved by the bell in the 12th and final round.
He must get up to preserve his to win the bell.
All right, look at that, look at that.
All right,
he's off.
What?
The bell sounds, so Conlon survives the 12th round.
What a finish. An unforgettable fight on an unforgettable night. He's no longer just the namesake of Apollo Creed. He's the living embodiment.
Winner by split decision. And still, the undefeated champion of the world, Creed.
You're going to get it, chump. You're the future of this division. You have my name with pride.
Respect.
Congratulations, Adonis, on a sensational effort. Rocky, Apollo Creed's son looks at you and says, family. What does that mean to you?
It means I'm a lucky guy. What can I say? You're a kid. He's a real fighter, and he's helping me fight a few things, so I appreciate it. I really do.
Adonis, I know you never met your father, but if he was here tonight, what would you want to say to him?
I just told him that I love him. And I know he ain't leave me on purpose. And I'm proud to be a Creed.
Thanks, Adonis, and congratulations on a sensational performance. Jim.
Go on. Talk to him.
Nothing like a Rocky montage. You gotta have it. is a staple in every Rocky movie. And one of the beautiful thing you see in this, you see really throughout the theme of even the series of movies, is that you see life change. You see life change through all of this. Even in this movie, you see how his heart changes. And when a person's heart is changed, it really becomes clear to everyone around them. When somebody, there's a line that he says in there, it says that Creed is not only just a namesake, but he's become the embodiment of the name. It's the same way with us in Christ. When we really allow Christ to where we don't just call ourselves Christians, but we really begin to take on his, really who he is, his essence. When we shed away everything that is like us and take on the things that are more like him, we really go from just being a name Christian to really being the embodiment of what he called us to be. That should be our goal as we're looking in the mirror, as we're fighting our battles, as we're going through these different stuff, even as fathers and dads, that, man, we have to be looking at the goal of trying to understand and reach who Christ is. The greatest victory for Creed in this movie, it didn't happen in the ring. It happened in his heart. And that has to be the same thing for us. That the big fight that we win in life, that we win it on the inside. It's not those situations and circumstances that you're going through. It's really what's happening in the heart that's going to determine your life. So I encourage you today to, man, choose to forgive yourself. Choose to fight on. Choose to look in the mirror and change and be willing to change those things in your life. Why? We saw it here in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, and I'm ending here. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This is, for me, if I could see it, man, this is how a father sees his child. This is how, when God looks at us, he sees us despite our imperfections, despite, man, anything that we might have done wrong. He sees what he made, and he adopts us into his family. Just like we see in this movie, Rocky adopts his kid basically as another son. That's what we see and what we should be fighting for in our lives. Bow your head, let's pray. Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.